director, welcome back, chief director to the committee. The appropriation. Minister, I had a little bit of a discussion with the DG this morning. We had a meeting last week, and the chief director came. Not in so many words. The committee made the following observations. One, it was our first interaction with your department. Two, your department is very critical for the work of this committee. We appropriate money. Yeah, so this committee would like to see the effectiveness of the money that are being appropriated by this committee. And your department is seen as very, very vital in assisting this committee to come to correct conclusions. As you know, there will be concerns about some departments which are not spending, underspending on their budgets. The implications on service delivery are obvious for everybody. So welcome that you are here and the DG. And DG, I hope you spoke to the minister. We agreed about the approach, but it's your meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair and colleagues. Well, first of all, we would like to perhaps state that maybe it was an oversight on our part not to be present when you first called us. And in that regard, we would like to commit to working with the committee going forward, because there was no intent on the part of the Department of Learning, Monitoring and Evaluation to show any disrespect to the committee by sending only the person responsible for this area of work. Having said that, Chair, maybe at some stage it might be important that we meet with the committee just to bring, to take the committee on board regarding all the type of work we do, so that the committee is fully appraised on what is this area of work we do in the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. In that regard, I will then lead the entire team led by the DG and all other chief directors and DDGs, so that you also have faces that are leading in the various areas of work that we do. It is for that reason then that we have sent the person responsible for quarterly reporting, because in our line of work we have got individuals that are responsible for various areas of work, including quarterly reporting by departments. Now, of course, not having discussed that with you, we took it for granted that maybe you also have an understanding of how we do our work. That's why we only sent the person responsible, not with the DG. Of course, you also know that the minister was not around. The minister was in Kenya. I was in Kenya for other government business. But having said all that, we profusely apologize. But we believe that after we have interacted with you in the various areas of work we do, at least we'll be on the same page, so that from time to time, when you need specific people to deal with specific areas, then I will interact with you, Chair. And so that in this instance, it might not be all of us, but it will only be individuals, so Chief Director, so, or DDG, so and so. But for now, we are here, and we profusely apologize for any sign of disrespect that might have been interpreted by the activities that happened last week. And thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Minister. I think that's the point, but DJ, I'm sure you want to come in before the honourable members respond.
Honourable Chairperson and honourable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. I am certain that the Minister has covered a lot of the areas, but I just would have liked to indicate that the issue of DDGs in the department is also something we can brief the committee about, out of interest. We are currently, DPME is a relatively new department. Our structure was approved in 2018 in January, which established the new structure and actually established the DDGs who are in the tradition of the public service branch manager. We have a lot of other DDGs, probably seven, who are responsible for what we call outcome facilitation, and they are sector experts, and they would only be able to address matters relating specifically to their sector. So we have an outcome facilitator for health, for education, for social development areas, for the economy, etc., etc. So what, just to add what the Minister has said, what may help is that normally in our previous interaction with this committee, the Minister and myself would come and do the big presentation, MTSS, P1, and then when the committee shows an interest on health matters, as has been recently the case, we would then ask the outcome facilitator for health, who is a DDG, to come and engage very specifically with the committee. There was a time when the committee had asked us for somebody on energy, when the energy crisis was looming, our person on the economy would come and engage with the committee. So just in terms of our approach, generally we are spread very thin across the committees in Parliament. We ourselves account to the Committee on Public Services, but we basically serve every committee, and this is what happens. When a committee, another portfolio committee meets, our people, i.e. the outcome facilitators, are called in to support the committee when the committee interrogates a department. So we're really spread thin across, and therefore it's not always possible for us to come and seek delegations. Last week, for instance, when this meeting was happening, there were four or five people sitting in other committees in different places. So that's the function we do, and we really plead with the committee to understand we'll bring the best person, the person who has the area, but it will not always be the DDG. And in certain instances, it might not always be the DDG, but it will be the person who is answering specifically the question you are being asked, because on a normal day, we are sitting in various places across Parliament. The important relationship we have with this committee is something we recognized in the fifth administration. We had engaged with them to say, in fact, previously, this department used to report to SCOWA directly. There were changes and were relocated away to public service. And we tried to work out this relationship as to how we're going to relate to SCOWA. And we did that in 2017 and 2018 and started with big presentations and then sector-specific presentations until the end of the fifth administration. And I think it's appropriate to say that given that this was the first meeting, it should have occurred to us that we need to do an introductory arrangement and re-establish our relationship with SCOWA like we did in 2017 and then work out some kind of program, as I suggested to the chairperson, that gives us a sense of what are the critical issues that SCOWA is looking at that we will then roll out over the next two quarters, and we can prepare ourselves and bring those matters here. We, as the minister has confirmed, we recognize the important role we can play in working with this committee, particularly given our performance monitoring and evaluation function. But I'd like to specifically suggest, Minister, if I may, just to take what you have said. We have, in the last 4 months, 6 months, since July, since the election, been busy with the business of setting up the administration, the civil administration and government. We've concluded the 25-year review. Cabinet has recently approved in October the MTSS. Tomorrow we are submitting to Cabinet the National Evaluation Plan, which is based on the MTSS, which tells us exactly which areas are going to be evaluated. Now the tendency is we evaluate underperforming areas and areas that are a problem, transversal in some instances, but program specific in others. And would like to, Chairperson, in that series, the Minister agrees, in the new year, come and make those presentations that really set the scene, because they've been approved by government, and would rather like to do that with score first before we are seen in other committees presenting those instruments, because those instruments are directly relevant to the work of this committee. They're about the overall plan for 5 years, they're about the monitoring framework for the next 5 years, but more importantly, they're about the evaluation plan that we will execute over the next 5 years. The 25-year review, part of which is reflected in what we'll present to you today, also reflects progress government has made and the impact government has made over the last 25 years, which is a 25-year review. But here, as per your request, Chair, we've spoken to the issue of impact in the last year in terms of the deliverables and service delivery. So we'll be able to share this with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, SDG. Briefly, the Minister of Health, DG, honourable members, I don't want us to spend a lot of time here because on this matter, because I want us to get to the meat of the meeting. But I'll allow one or two honourable members to reflect on what the Minister of DG have just said. Honourable Zembo, Emma Tafa, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, DG, and Tim. Let us start first things first, Chairperson. Let's start by welcoming the explanation and the apology. It's a fact, particularly after this lack of explanation by the DG. Minister and your team, you might have been correct when you conceptualized your approach on how to set the mission for us. Hence, I say it's unfair, Chair. But with others, many, we also, after assessing the general and normal performance of the committee and prepared before, told us that this time around in this parliament, things are not going to be the same. We, from those of us who have been looking at the committee from afar with skepticism, have been seeing this committee as just a committee which was built, Chairperson, as a just a member. If you notice, you know, those vehicles that were securing the guard, taking money from the shop, running it straight to the bank, and you forget. It has been like that. And this time around, we are saying, it's no longer the case. Now, we are saying our responsibility as a is not only appropriation, but also monitoring the utilization of government funds. So we fund it. So that next time, when we have to appropriate, we fund
hence then the marriage between this committee, correct decisions, as you say, and as the arrangement before. If it comes a push, it means we are somehow pushing that it go back to that original the arms of any revolution, fortunately, even who honorably chose us was once from those churches, you understand, the principles of the NPR, that there will always be theory and practice.
With us, we are more in practice.
Like now, we are talking, taking one figure from this particular department to the other. But then, you're right, you would then come with that theory that what is it that might have caused this particular department not to perform as per expectations, particularly the expectations in terms of the presidential injunction. Because we're very concerned, would worry if the president then out there, be it in a sauna or whatever, pronounced that 1, 2, 3 is going to happen, and it doesn't, we'll be concerned. We'll be concerned if they are headed in the advancement of the social transformation. We will be concerned generally if they are headed in the building of a democratic, I mean, as a developmental state. So all these chairs that I'm raising are the issues that we as this committee now begin to look at as to what is it that's been happening with this particular department or this particular entity. Hence then the need for a good sense when we are about to pronounce on the behavior of attitude that we are faced with now, the appropriation.
Still there has now been the medium term budget
statement.
We will still have to make time
that which will be presented. This is check for the media, the team is very big for just today. You understand? But if they, for instance, today can pick on some critical issues that they've also noticed in terms of performance of the project department, just those who are at least flickering red and some will be flickering amber towards red. Just for us to know. So that we are able to justify even the reactions that are censured.
Thank you, Honourable Zembo. Honourable Matev.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to the Minister ADG and the team. Now, Chair, I think Honourable Zembo spoke for all of us, so I'm perfect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Honourable Members. My response to the DG, because I had a meeting with her, Honourable Minister, she gave me an extensive explanation, some of these things she has touched on. My question, I just said to DG, how was I going to know, how was the team going, the committee going to know about these things? So it was a lacuna that we needed to just close so that we were able to continue. I made an example, for instance, that the way we deal with national treasure. The DG came here and said, this DG is responsible for this, this one is responsible for this, I may not be here, the minister may not be here, the deputy minister, and that's what's happening. So I think it's fine, we've ticked those boxes, we're still going to interact because I know I spent a little bit more time with the DG, where she would like to take us through certain things so that we were seeing from the same inbox. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. And your team, we are all yours. As you are saying, that when you interact with us, it's more about arming us than anything else.
Yes, thank you. We have brought colleagues that are responsible for these questions of performance monitoring by departments. So they are led by the DG. Of course, there are specific colleagues that are tasked with this. I will now hand over to the DG to take us through.
Sorry, Minister, the DG has apologized for you, upfront that you may leave us. So feel free to do that when you see it's opportune.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, ministers as well, and other colleagues who are here. We are proposing, honorable Chairperson, to split the presentation into two. It would help us just to be able to do that so that we answer the questions you raised in the first letter and in the follow-up letter, which elaborated. The first part of the presentation, I'm going to ask our colleague Ideshi Moody, who is responsible for quarterly reports on ATTs and strategic plans, to take us through the first part of the presentation, which really talks to departmental performance in summary. Can I indicate, honorable Chairperson, honorable members, we have provided the detailed reports. We've asked for the secretary to send them to you electronically, and we also have copies that are made for your reference. These are summaries, high level. We talk to the target and performance and percentage, but the issues around the detail of the program and all of that is contained in what we're calling the annexure. And the annexure is available. We can circulate it if members need it, but we also send it to the electronic, which may help for us. She's going to take us through that first part and come to the end of that part of the presentation, which deals with the departmental performance against targets for quarter two, which is very specific to the request the committee has made. And then we end with overall performance assessment. The second part of the request is related to us briefing the committee on impact on service delivery. And we have said to the chairperson that the challenge with impact is they do not align with quarterly reports, because we do impact assessment on an annual basis, and it takes a longer time to do assessment on impact. And by definition, I will then take over just at that point and take you through the balance of the presentation, which does two things. One, it does impact evaluation findings through two systems that we have. One is we utilize an evaluation system, the DPME part. The E is a whole system of evaluation that we have, and we'll share with you the results of evaluation on government programs that show what impact those programs have, and also point out the improvement plans and corrective measures and other instruments we've introduced to those departments, including shifting budgets in certain instances away from departments together with Treasury when they are totally underperforming. Then we will talk to you also on the outcome impact indicator, which we also have in our monitoring system that is able to dictate to you, or to explain to you a particular area, the performance impact of particular programs, and we will focus then again on all the 14 outcomes, the previous ones of the previous administration, because in a sense, this new administration, we're measuring impact at this point. We do not have the result of impact assessment, but we'll be able to share where we are with all of them through the impact indicators on the 14 outcomes up to 2019, and then previously the issues coming out of the evaluation. And maybe if we handle it like that, Chair, we've underlined the three issues that you have requested us to respond to and would like to present it in that way. But we can start with the departmental performance, which is very clear, with chemicals, with assessment of how departments have performed by quarter two.
Let's do that. We're at quarter two, 11 now. We want to 12 o'clock so that with all your presentations, so that we would allow honorable members to get some clarifications and questions. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, and good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson, Minister, and members of the colleague of this committee, DGs and colleagues. So as DG has indicated this morning, I'll be providing the committee on a brief assessment on the second quarter performance report. We do have comprehensive information which we will share with you, but the slide is actually a summary of the key achievements against targets for the second quarter for all national departments. In terms of the 2019-20 guidelines for the preparation of quarterly performance reports, the guidelines were issued to all national departments on the 15th of May 2019. The guidelines provide guidance on the completion of national department quarterly performance reports. The focus area of the guidelines in the quarterly performance reporting system is that it focuses on consistency between the Table 2019 Annual Performance Plan and the Quarterly Performance Report. We do have an electronic quarterly performance reporting system that tracks performance on a quarterly basis. It also provides us with direction in the quarterly performance reporting approval process. It outlines roles and responsibilities for quarterly performance reporting. It provides reporting time frames so national departments are aware at what period post the quarter that they can actually report. And then of course, with regard to the second quarter report, they were submitted to DPME on the 31st of October 2019. In terms of rationale for the overview of the performance of national departments, the DPME assesses the quarter two performance of national departments against planned quarter two targets. The overview of performance for both focuses on progress made on indicators which are also reflected in the 2019 estimates of the national expenditure. And this is one of the mechanisms that we actually use to ensure that planning and budgeting in the national sphere of government are actually aligned. And then, of course, DPME aims to highlight positive progress made against planned targets, as well as indicate instances where departments are experiencing performance challenges. The overview of performance for Vote 2, which is Parliament, is not provided today, as this Parliament does not report to DPME. In terms of impact assessment in government, DG has explained that impacts are usually measured after a year. But we do have information on impact which we'll actually share with you as we move into the presentation. And now moving on into the quarterly performance of national departments for quarter two. So what we did is we assessed all the quarterly performance information for all programs per department. And we then consolidated it and we summarized it to present the key overall strategic findings of the assessment. As DG has indicated, we will share with you the comprehensive quarterly performance reports for each of the national departments. So we'll start off with the Center for Public Sector Innovation. So with regard to this particular institution, program one, out of a total of four targets, zero were not achieved, which means the department actually, or the institution actually achieved all targets. Program two, public sector innovation, out of a total of 11 targets, one was not achieved. In terms of overall performance for the department, there was a 93% performance for this particular institution. With regard to civilian secretaries for police, for program one, out of a total of six targets, three were not achieved. Program two, one was not achieved. Civilian secretary did not actually include targets for quarter three. And for quarter four, they had six targets, three were not achieved. And in total, for quarter two, they achieved an overall performance of 61.1% against the quarter two targets tabled in the APP. In terms of the Department of Arts and Culture, for program one, okay, For program one, zero was not achieved, which means they achieved all. For program two, they achieved all. Program three was not achieved, and program four, two were not achieved. So they had an overall performance of 80% for quarter two. The Department of Basic Education, I think I'll just focus on the overall performance for the department now. For basic education, out of 18 targets, 15 were achieved. So in total, they achieved 83% of their targets. Agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, out of 51 targets, 37 were achieved. So they achieved 72%. The Department of Cooperative Governance, out of 15 targets, 10 were achieved. So they achieved 66% in total. The Department of Correctional Services, out of 27 targets, 24 were achieved. This was a total of 89%. Environmental Affairs, out of 88 targets, they achieved 67%. Home Affairs, out of 22 targets, they achieved 14, and in total to 63%. Higher Education and Training, out of 11 targets, 6 were achieved, and the percentage was close on to 55%. The Department of Human Settlements achieved 26 out of 40 targets, which is equivalent to 65%. DERCO achieved 27 out of 32 targets, which was 84%. Mineral Resources achieved 10 out of 11 targets, which was 90%. Military Veterans achieved 1 out of the 2 targets, so they basically only had 2 targets for this quarter, and that was 50%. The Department of Communications, they achieved 8 targets. out of 9, and this was closer to a 90% achievement. Defense achieved 11 targets out of 17, and this was closer to 65%. The Department of Energy, they achieved 5 out of 6 targets, which was 83%. The Department of Health, they had 20 targets for quarter two, they achieved 13, and the total percentage achievement was 65%. The Department of Constitutional Development, out of 4 targets, 3 were achieved, and the total percentage was 75%. The Department of Labor, they achieved 100%, but they only had 2 targets for quarter two, and then they only achieved 2. The Department of Transport, they achieved 90%, 27 out of their 30 targets were achieved. The Department of Public Enterprises, they achieved 52%, and 11 out of the 21 targets were achieved. The Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation achieved 75%, and 18 out of the 24 targets were achieved. The Department of Public Service and Administration, they achieved 27 out of 30 targets, so they achieved 90%. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, 16 out of the 30 targets were achieved, this is an equivalent of 53%. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, they had 23 targets, 6 were achieved, and the total percentage was 26%. For quarter two. The Department of Small Business has achieved 31 out of the 33 targets, that's equal to 93%. The Department of Social Development achieved 14 out of 16 targets, which was 88%. The Department of Traditional Affairs, they achieved 100% for quarter two. The Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, they had 5 targets for quarter two, and 2 were achieved, and this is an equivalent of 40%. The Department of Economic Development, they achieved 100%, but they also only had 2 targets. The Department of Science and Innovation, they had a 58% achievement. They achieved 14 out of 24 targets. DTI had close on to 37%, and they achieved 7 out of the 19 targets. Water and sanitation achieved 77%, Government Communication Information Systems, which meets 92%. Independent Police Investigative Directorate, they achieved 73%. Tourism achieved all their targets. Of course, it was 100% for quarter two, but they only had three targets for quarter two. The National School of Government had 26 targets. They achieved 18. The total percentage was 69. The Property Management and Trading Entity, they had 18 targets. They achieved 12. The total percentage was 66%. Treasury achieved close on to 89% for quarter two. The presidency achieved 75%. The South African Police Services had 115 targets, 67 were achieved, and there was a 58% total achievement for quarter two. Sports and Recreation had 27 targets, 24 were achieved, and there was an 89% achievement. Stats SA had 42 targets, 41 was achieved, and this was closer to a 98% achievement for quarter two. In terms of overall performance, there were 40 departments that performed about 50%. There were 4 departments that performed below 50%, and then of course the remedial action which they indicated included improvement plans that are needed to fast track performance in the third quarter, interventions for certain departments where there is no achievement, evaluation on underperforming programs, so why are they not working, what are the benefits, are they meeting the long-term outcomes and impact that they were initially intended for. Then of course corrective action by the executive authority and the DG. And then of course the need to link performance agreements with targets in the APP. And of course the link to audit outcomes, because the AG is also auditing this information. So we also share this information with the Auditor General. They take this information and they audit all of the indicators at the end of the financial year. So this basically brings me to the end of the first part of the presentation on the second quarter performance report. I'll now hand over to DG, who will continue with the impact evaluation findings. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and we've circulated to the members the detailed quarterly performance information, so there's an interest when we come to questions on specifics in each particular program, the details of which programs didn't perform. I think we've provided it all for the benefit of the members. In dealing with impact evaluations, I would just like to indicate, as I said earlier, that we've conducted several of these, and in particular areas we've zoomed in to the areas that are very problematic. Some have been very problematic for a long time in government, but in this previous financial year, we can argue that we've concluded a number of areas which have helped us to solve problems in areas that have been needing intervention. The first one is with respect to early grade reading, improving the reading amongst learners. I'm sure members will also recall that the President announced the upscaling of the intervention element to improve this area. We had recommended in an evaluation as to what they must do in terms of the improvement of reading learners. And you will find, and again, take you along with us, when we come to you with the presentation on MTSF, the Medium Term Strategic Framework, we'll then give you the new target for the 5 years for this particular area of improved reading, and we set pretty high standards for the sector to deliver. On nutrition, interventions for children under 5, and what has happened on nutrition is a finding that we had in our impact assessment that in fact we were stunting again as a country. Now, between 1994 and probably 2008, we had done very well in bringing down the stunting, incidence of stunting. And what they do in stunting is they simply measure the height of children at the age of 5 in schools. South Africans are becoming shorter. So we did well up to 2008, and we started declining again up until 2017. And that was a particular concern, that the country is stunting again, and we couldn't quite explain the reasons for stunting again. One of them we found is because our approach in dealing with stunting was very health-based. Our findings are that the actual major contributors to stunting are more than just health. They relate to environmental issues, they relate to general nutrition, they relate to other factors that go beyond just the health indicators. And therefore, in this SIPP administration, you will find our efforts around stunting are much more integrated. They are not about one department, they are about 5 departments: food security, agriculture, etc., etc. Sanitation is an important one. Quality of water impacts on height and stunting, etc. So now we've learned the lesson from that reversal. We've set very high targets as well for reversing the trend of stunting. You'll see we're currently at 21%. The intention is to go back to 10%, which is achievable if we focus our efforts on restitution. A number of problems we've had in this area. One important impact evaluation was a recommendation we made with the creation of an independent commission on land claims. Very important intervention, because what we had before was the land claims court was not quite independent. It was our finding was that it was worked on a temporary basis, there were acting judges, and therefore the backlog we've had around land claims has been quite significant because of the lack of permanence of this arrangement. The positive impact on restitution program has also been assessed, and in terms of that, we've evaluated whether pushing the land claims program, and importantly, the results of the evaluation, impact evaluation we've done on improving the efficiency of the program, is something that we will observe over the next year and start to see very high figures around the restitution program, with the court settled down, proper judges appointed, and the process rolling out. The drug master plan, the impact evaluation indicated the need to change and conceptualize the design of the program, and this is currently being implemented and improving effectiveness of the program so that we can achieve the intended outcomes. The next one, urban settlement development grant. We found there were challenges in that area, and we made recommendations for changes to be made to the key policy guidelines to improve operational mechanisms in order to attain greater efficiency. The policy on community colleges as well, we recommend the changes on design evaluation, and before the policy was released, we had significant changes that were made, and the recommendation was improvement of the initial design of the policy and realignment of the program to intended objectives. Gender-based violence. The recurrent implementation of the gender-based violence program is based on an evaluation we conducted, which basically indicated that we needed improvements in defining and the costing of a minimum basic package of services to be provided to victims. And as you see, the $1 billion that's been allocated, and the president has launched it. This was based on us identifying specifically what must be in the package, what do the victims require, and what is the kind of support that basically must be provided. And that basically gives you the impact evaluation. What I also indicated earlier in the introduction is we will come back to you. Cabinet is going to sit on the 2nd of December and approve, hopefully, the national evaluation plan for the next 5 years. And we'll be able to share with you the plans for all the evaluations that we're going to undertake over the next 5 year period. The next section of the presentation I'll deal with the medium-term strategic framework, impact indicators, which are based on the outcomes. And at this point, we assess them in relation to the 2019 targets. Just by way of introduction, we share with you and confirm that in 2009, which marked the difference in the establishment of the department, focus on results-based planning and monitoring, instilling normative principles of which are prerequisite for successful monitoring and improving delivery performance. Being able to provide these principled leadership and make tough decisions which require us to deliver on priorities, strengthen our ability to cooperate across the three levels of governance and work as a single delivery machine. We can also indicate that in the fifth administration, that was not quite achieved, but now in the sixth, the district-based model allows us to really work as an integrated model. We actually implement an integrated model between national, provincial, and district municipalities, which will really help us to realize this particular objective. Partnership between government and civil society to work together, transparency, recognizing we have limited funding and resources and our willingness to commit to doing more with less and doing it on time, develop a skilled, well-motivated, embedded public service that is able to deliver on this program, but also proud of what it does and receives full recognition for delivering better quality services. Importantly, we single out a number of high-impact priorities to be monitored with a clear theory of change, succinctly articulating the best way to achieve the priorities, focusing on outcomes and impact, moving away from vague statements of intent to measurable results, and monitoring information to identify corrective measures where programs are suboptimally performing on a suboptimal basis. Further, in embedding the MDP, indicates the MDP's major goals and objectives, improving and eliminating income poverty and reducing inequality, and therefore embedding the 2014 to 2019 MTSF, and now the recently approved 2019 to 2024 MTSF, which I indicated was approved on the 30th of October by Cabinet, which we will bring happily to the next meeting with this committee as you wish. And then we just outline how the MTSF actually works. It's a 5-year plan of the MDP, and it focuses on implementation. On the next slide, we talk to the 14 outcomes on the basis on which we're dealing with the 2014 to 2019, and that's the basis upon which we'll report to you. We now have adopted for 2019-2024 seven priorities, and when we come with the impact assessment a year later, we'll be reporting on the seven, not the 14, as the transition has actually indicated. So the next time we do a comprehensive report on this, we'll be able to do it on the new MTSF, not the old one. Just given the impact indicators on a lot of the outcomes, we start with outcome one. I'd like to just highlight particular areas. Improve the quality of basic education as an overall outcome. We'd just like to indicate and share with the committee some of the impact indicators that emerged from the work we've done until 2019. Passing of physical science was 50%, which was achieved, and basically was higher than what we actually targeted. Grade 6 learners in language, also that is an achievement. Grade 9 learners in mathematics, that's also an achievement, as the figures show there. The percentage of 7-year-olds to 15-year-olds who attend institutions, we've exceeded the 98% deadline, and that's an achievement area. And also the percentage of children who attend 12 in the previous year and are currently enrolled in grade 7, which is different from the previous one. And also that was the baseline of 41%, we were at 61%. Percentage of children who attend 12 in the previous year and are currently enrolled in grade 7 at 58%, which was the baseline, and in 2017 the outcome was the achievement was 71.1%. Passing mathematics at 50%, the number is indicated there, they were underachieved, they're at 50,701, and the baseline was higher at 58,216. Passing with a bachelor level, 172,000, which is basically less than what's supposed to be achieved. percentage of youth who obtained any SPT qualifications was at 58%, and the target for 2019 is actually 93%. On outcome two, which is the health sector, we actually have performed very well, despite the conditions in health facilities. The period 1994 up until recently, we sustained life. We're concerned, though, that we're not concerned about death. We'll come back to you on another day and talk to you about our concern for not addressing death. But in the life-sustaining areas, for instance, the life expectancy is now basically 64.6 years in South Africa. For the males, it's less than the females. There must be some dangerous activities that are still being undertaken, like driving, crime, and other matters that are still impacting on our male life expectancy. Under 5 mortality rate, 32 in 1,000. You can see that before, in 2014, we were at 39 in 1,000. So that's improving a lot. 23 deaths in 1,000 of life deaths, and that's the infant mortality rate. Again, that's an improvement of 5 given the 2014 baseline. 12 per 1,000 life deaths in neonatal mortality rate when it was 14 before. 134 live births on maternal mortality rate, where previously it was 269. And then the final one is stunting, which I indicated earlier. We're currently at 27.4, and we should be really going down to 10% as we indicated. We have achieved greater figures on stunting. We watch other African countries export basketball players to the United States, which means they have beaten the stunting. And then when we are told these figures about South African stunting again, we say, no, there's some genetic thing about our inheritance and our... But we actually don't think it's true, Honorable Member. It's an excuse we keep using because other African countries are not stunting. And for us to keep saying, well, we are the shortest on the continent.
But did you... Why was China not safe?
No. Honorable Chairperson, this is very honest. This is poverty. It's very simple. The stunting of South Africans is directly linked to poverty. And you can see your children and your grandchildren are now towering above, we call them the Kellogg's kids. They eat Kellogg's and they eat more nutritious food. Most of us grew up with porridge, and that's what leads to stunting. So it's a very serious issue. It impacts on the well-being of a society, but it takes a long time to deal with it. There are other contributory factors, though, Chairperson. First is food security, how often you get food, 3 times a day. It's the nutritional value. There is environmental factors that are quite important around polluted water, polluted air, that seem to contribute to this as well. So we're now attacking it from all sides, something, because we'd like the next generation genuinely to be much, much taller than our generation.
But our kids eat,
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the next one is the outcome 3, which is all South Africans are and feel safe. The safety issue is very important. And it's not about whether they are safe. The most important one is whether they feel safe and their own perceptions of their own safety. What we see on the latest victims of crime survey, victims of crime survey shows that a percentage of households who feel safe walking during the day decreased considerably from 85% in 2014 to 79.1%. The percentage of households who feel safe walking alone at night in 2016 was 24%,
Honourable Peters and Linda would like to make some intervention. Let's see that.
No, Chairperson, I was just saying that he is absent. He is
Sorry, Chair, to interrupt you. I just wanted to know why we're getting stepped up to 2017-2018. Why not
2018-2019? Chairperson, what my indication around impact assessment is that we rely very much on the surveys that are carried out by largely other institutions. Some of them we do our own research, but others we rely on what they call statutory surveys from the official statistics holder, which is SSA. So it depends when they last issue their surveys, because certain surveys are not issued annually. Sometimes they issue them once in 2 years, and we have to rely on them and then wait for the next one. But we get them consistently. SSA is our sister department. We get them. Surveys out first before anybody else. So it's not because they have the survey, we haven't received it. It's their scheduling of when they conduct the surveys, and normally it's biannually that they're able to give us results in most of these areas, and we rely on them for that purpose. When we're able to do our own work, we normally do, but we rely largely on Statistics South Africa for a lot of this work. Chair, the issues related to household satisfaction with police services.
Sorry, Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You say you're getting most of your information from Stats South Africa. Now, particularly, you're talking about this issue of crime and the survey here. And Stats South Africa has been found wanting in terms of the accuracy of the statistics they've been giving us in terms of the crime. So, in other words, they've been misleading us. And if you're following the information they give you, then you prove the statement. That's simply what it means, because we found stats for that. It was being proven the other day, where that the information that you're giving are not credible. They have not been giving us the correct stats in terms of the crime. So I'm a little bit concerned if we're relying on the information of stats for that, because what we've heard, we might have a problem.
I allowed Roshi to come in. I want us to hold on to our questions. And until the DG finishes her presentation. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. If I may proceed. The percentage of households who feel safe walking alone at night was 24%, and increased by 8%. Percentage of those who felt safe walking alone in the dark increased to 31.8%. The household satisfaction with police services the area fell by 5%, from 59% to 54%. In the same period, household satisfaction in the manner in which the court dealt with perpetrators of crime decreased from 64% to 41%. And I think that one is particularly concerning, because the faith of the citizens in the criminal justice system, and particularly dealing with perpetrators of crime, is something that informs their perception of safety, but also informs their own management of their self-protection. The conviction of persons with respect to corruption and related cases, in which amount involved is 5 million and above, that particular indication is that the target was 172, which is compared to the 52 in 2013-2014, including those that are attained in the financial or the MTSS period of 2009-2014, and a total of 188 have been achieved to date. Recoveries of money, which are the proceeds of corruption, have also shown some progress. More still needs to be done in this area, and the same applies for endeavors of achieving freezing orders. We currently, with the JCPS cluster, are working on providing assistance to the criminal justice system on capacity, and we must just indicate, Chair, that the challenge seems to be this. We had this capability in the criminal justice system to deal with crime, corruption, with all the investigations that are happening in all areas. The criminal justice system is not able to cope. The one example is Northwest. In Northwest, they were dealing in Mabato with the average of 3 cases of corruption. We had an intervention in the Section 100, which was led by ourselves on behalf of the President. We delivered 43 cases of corruption. There's one prosecutor in Mabato. One. So, more recently, we've gone to go and look for money. This is where it might affect appropriation, for increasing the prosecutorial capability in the Northwest Province to match the cases that we've created through the investigation and the intervention. And it's very important for us to see that cycle, which is really how we impact on the system and what they had before, etc. The same applies to these areas of value of raising orders and proceeds, recovering money of proceeds of corruption. In a sense, more capacity is required to do those things because the system requires it, and it's not always readily available. The other contradiction is all of this happens in an environment where DPSA says, no, we are cutting COE. Compensation of employees has been cut in most areas, and nobody can fill new posts, create new posts, and money can be allocated for new posts. And yet, the other side of our system requires us to increase capability. This is a challenge we can relate to later. We're just raising it because this is what happens in certain areas when we become stuck. Mm-hmm. National anti-corruption strategy, in fact, I think there's a launch of this. There's a launch of this that's going to happen. Of the National Anti-Corruption Strategy before the year ends. It has been finalized and we'll be able to report progress on it. Outcome 4 deals with the decent employment areas and sources of economic growth. It's the economy by and large. Chairperson, we can indicate, let me say, the 25-year review generally reflects the following, that we've done very well on the social indicators, the electricity, water, extension to communities, and various other areas. Social grants has been our best performer, etc. While limping on the economic side. In fact, the reason why priority number one in the sixth administration is the economy is because of this very reason. And that focus requires us to show dedication to changing and transforming the economy sufficiently so we can achieve the target. On GDP growth, we have set a target of 5% annually. We've been limping at 1.1% on average, with that decline of 3.2%, but we went back subsequently to 0.8% after that. Percentage contribution of productive sectors to GDP, we indicate them there, and part of the challenge that has contributed to this sluggish growth. And these sectors which we really relied upon in the past, agriculture, manufacturing, mining, have actually declined. And that's really the major contributor to our economic woes, amongst other things, global economic trends as well. Official unemployment rate was 14% in the first quarter of 2019. We're at 27.9, we're then at 29.1, which is the latest figures we have in this current phase. Public employment opportunities, we created in 2014 to 2019, 6 million through EPWP, but the actual, that's the target, and we achieved 4.5 million by 31st of March. Investment on R&D, 1.5%, we achieved 0.83%. Gross fixed capital formation, 10%, we achieved 5.7%. Official CPI headline inflation rate between 3 to 6%, we were at 4.5 in March 2019. Input prices at and close to inflation rate, we were at 6.3% in March. We've also faced severe headwinds over the past 30 years. We're trapped on a low growth path, recovery slow, and has been since 2008's global economic crisis. We've really not recovered from that. And I think globally we've not recovered from that. So the latest figures on global growth show that we're not going to see the light of day above 1.5% globally. So there's bigger problems that are happening outside of South Africa, whilst we must pursue our own internal strategies to change this picture for ourselves. Potentially including erratic and costly energy supply, Shepherdson, I can confirm this, that minus 3.2% decline in quarter one of 2019 was largely attributable to energy outage. Very simply. And the Statistician General briefed us well and said, this is the major contributor, then there were other minor contributors to that as well. So the important issues of ensuring security of energy supply and how it impacts on our economy is extremely important. We've continued to have inefficiency in rail and ports. I'm sure honorable members have seen this. There's a point at which our ports were just ground to a halt and not operating. This particular situation has a plan in place. They are going to deal with it, but they are very slow. We're also unhappy about the performance on the turnaround around rail and ports, both in the department and in the agencies that are responsible for this. Transnet particularly is only starting to show some progress on some of their indicators. Fiscally constrained fiscal policy environment, weak domestic demand, slow global growth, undiversified exports, and realistically lack of competition in some of the sectors. We're still seeing the constraints of monopoly-type businesses in certain industries that really prevent competition and the entry of small businesses in order to promote economic growth. Significant decline in the major contributory sectors, mining, agriculture, and manufacturing. The manufacturing sector, I must indicate, is probably one of the ones that has declined most. It used to be position one as a major contributor to GDP. It now occupies position four. No other sector has seen a decline of this significance. And that's why, in fact, when we talk to you about the MTSF, we'll be able to engage you on the master plans for industrialization, which are aimed to bring back the manufacturing sector to life. 1.2 million jobs created over the past 5 years, yet unemployment rate remains stubbornly at 26.7% in the first quarter, and it was 29.1% in the quarter after. Unemployed youth are our major concern. Between the ages of 15 and 24, what we call yet not in education, employment or training, that grouping currently faces an unemployment rate of 55.2% in that quarter one. Importantly also, this is fueled by increased labor force participation rate of these young people. Fixed investment by both public and private sector has slowed. Inequality remains high. In per capita, the Gini coefficient, just yesterday, CSSA released a new Gini coefficient of 0.66. But what they've done in respect of this is they've actually used what we call the multi-dimensional approach to the measurement of the Gini coefficient. Living conditions survey of 2015 also shows that people below the lower bound have increased from 39% to 38%, which was the last time that South Africa did this survey in 2015. Outcome 5 deals with skills. And in this area, we deal with the skills and capable workforce to support the improved skill growth path. The issue has already been raised with us, the concern the committee has about ineffectiveness of TVET colleges. We've made a commitment to come back to the committee and engage that of TVET. Our sector expert is a sector expert for education and skills, and they will be able to unpack exactly what strategies they have, or the department and departments of labor have in these areas of collaboration, and share with you the MTSF approach the next 5 years of how we deal with this matter. The number of headcount enrollments in TVET colleges achieved 688,028 against the target of 2019 at 710, so they didn't meet the target. Number of students enrolled in public high education studies at university was missed by 2,501, was very close to the target, was just missed by that number. Number of eligible students obtaining financial aid through NSFAS, 260,002 for universities and 200,339 for TVET colleges. Certificates for TVET colleges, 55% in relation to N3, 43 on N6, on NCV, L4, 34.4%. Then we give you the figures for 2018-2019, and N3 is 76.80, N6 is 96.10, and NCV level 4 is at 50%. You can see the improvement between the one which is the 2014 level and the 2018-2019 level. The number of artisans certified, which is by far not satisfactory, but this is an area also where the underperformance is 14,389 by 2015, 23,000 by 2017, and then it declines in 2019 to 19,763. Throughput rate for 2014 first cohort at universities, the target was 71% for 2019, the achievement was 58%. The throughput rate for 2014 cohort at TVET again, 60% of NCV level 4 and that's what beneficiaries per annum obtained the qualification within stipulated time. What was achieved was 31.8%. So the target was 60, and they only achieved 31.8%. The number of graduates in engineering sciences, we give you the numbers there. They are given in that breakdown. The target for 2019 over this period was 57,000, and that number exceeds that, so they just met the target. Similarly, 2019 target for number of research graduates, 34,000, and the total is given per year for the 5-year period and also exceeds the target that we had. Strengthen TVET College certification process. The report indicates the backlog in 2018 is 15,000 and the 2018-2017, the backlog was 4,800, which means we are regressing in that area. Outcome 6 deals with an efficient, competitive, responsive economic infrastructure network. So related to outcome 4, which deals with the economy, but this is purely on infrastructure. The investment on infrastructure is critical for economic growth and also improves quality of life. We had an NDP target of 30% of GDP, which was not met, or currently at 18%. Total infrastructure spending amount, 1.3 trillion in the last MTSF up to the annual to end of the financial year 18-19. We have had subdued economic growth, government failures at the SOEs, and we must indicate this has probably had the biggest contribution to the decline in investment in infrastructure. If you take into cognizance the challenges at ESCOM, the challenges at FRASA, the challenges at Transnet, all related to governance matters but having a direct impact on the ability of the entities themselves to roll out the infrastructure program. The Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee monitors over 18 strategic integrated programs called SIPs, which has more than 323 projects sustaining more than 100,000 jobs. This was previously in the Department of Economic Development. It has been in the fifth administration transferred to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and were yet to engage with that department around with this new responsibility around the actual performance of these projects. 6,326 megawatts from the reliable energy IPPs was procured against the target of 7,000 megawatts, just short of the target. We've been really concerned about the inability for the Department of Transport to finalize the single transport economic regulator. We have indicated, Honorable Chairperson, that what the single transport economic regulator will do is literally unlock the economy. There was a process that I think came into Parliament and it was withdrawn and they've gone back to the drawing board. This is a matter that I think all of us should be able to sit on and get real progress. There are such matters that we had identified, in fact, Treasury had identified in 2018, which we call growth inhibitors. And this one is one of the very important growth inhibitors. The others included IPPs. Now we have movement on IPPs. The others included Spectra. Now we have movement on Spectra. And we've been putting pressure on all of them on these growth inhibitors. But this growth inhibitor called STEP, we're not succeeding. There's something, some intervention that's required there. Also in the energy sector, happy, I'm sure members have seen the publishing of the integrated resource plan, but also the restructuring of ESCOM and SAA, which are currently underway. Day before yesterday, the Department of Water and Sanitation cancelled and postponed the launch of their water and sanitation master plan, which means it's ready. They just had logistical problems, and that we know has been done and will be launched as a specific intervention that helps us to manage the issues of water and sanitation provision. Phase one of Ugolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project has been completed against the target of 100% banned penetration by 2020, the following year has been achieved. 56% of the population use internet. 99% have access to mobile brand or broadband coverage for 3G. Coverage for 4G LTE, which is live, stands at 77%. And 4,429 schools have been connected as part of the universal certification by ICASA. Outcome 7 deals with vibrant, equitable rural, sustainable rural communities for food security for all. On food security check against the MTSF target of 4.3 million people vulnerable to hunger, the percentage of persons experiencing hunger increased from 13.2% in 2014 to 11.3% in 2018. Against a target of 1.6 million households benefiting from food security, the percentage of households who are vulnerable to hunger declined from 11% to 9.7% in 2018. A total of 10,425 new enterprises were supported, far exceeding the target of 1,620. More than six times, actually, in 27 vulnerable districts. A total of 10,760 rural enterprises and 1,535 cooperatives were supported, again, more than five times the target of 2019 of 2,158. Sometimes we ask the question, what were they thinking when they set the target? If it becomes easy to achieve a target by five times over, it means those who were setting it were scared, and they were setting it, they were unsure about the achievement. But we welcome it, and we congratulate them. It's just sometimes it is a question about target setting. The land agrarian reform Land acquisition target of 2 million hectares in strategically located land has not been met. Only 1.013 hectares have been acquired. Development of 1 million hectares of underutilized land in communal areas and land reform projects for production achieved only 763,715 hectares which were cultivated, and the target was not met. Against a target of 80,000 smallholders producers to be supported, a total of 251,352 smallholder producers were supported, and the target was exceeded by far. Outcome 8, sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. This particular outcome aims to ensure that poor households have adequate housing and better living conditions. On the subsidized housing program, they are able to gain access to social and economic assets and entry to the property market whilst addressing a very important factor, which is asset inequality. When we break down the inequality Gini coefficient, even though it's largely income-based, the other major contributor, which is unique to South Africa, is very low asset equality amongst our communities. And so this issue of housing and land becomes very important to allow all citizens to have access to assets, which then help them to generate an income in one way or another. On this subsidized program, 448,022 subsidy houses were delivered, which represent 86.3% of the target, and a shortfall of 70,838. Title deed transfers, an administrative process that has been dragging for a long time. We'll come back to you and talk to you about how we intend clearing this backlog in the sixth administration. They've made some progress now, they've been very slow, but only 101,180 title deeds were issued, which is 22% of the new houses that were delivered, which in fact then led to an increase in the backlog by 346,842. So effectively, 306,510 of the 818,206 backlog title deeds have been transferred, which represented 37%. We can indicate to you the commitment of the sixth administration is to eliminate this problem. This problem will no longer be with us, and certain measures have been taken to actually help us eradicate this issue completely. Upgrading of informal settlements, significant progress with 661,244 households upgraded, representing 82%, and 2,044 of the 2,200 settlements were assessed. On social housing, improvement over 5 years, but still performed well below the target of, with only 13,850 of the targeted 27,000. Rental for low-income groups also performed below, with MTSF target of 10,000 units, and they only were able to deliver 7,088 units, which represents 79%. Supporting the development of functional, equitable residential property market, the performance of land acquisition and release, 19,962.2 hectares against the 10,000 hectares MTSF target, but only 2,241.7 hectares have been rezoned for development. So they've done well on acquiring it, but they haven't rezoned it for the purposes it is intended. There's a housing program called SLIT, which is the finance-linked subsidy program, which means it's financed also by the bank. This is a symmetry. Part of the chairperson, you see in the MTSF, we put a lot of emphasis on partnerships in society. Both the NDP and the MTSF in its 5 years can never be delivered by government. The role of private financial institutions, DFIs and others, in helping us to achieve this become very important. And this list is actually an indication of that, with 9,762 of the 70,000 targets that was set. Improving institutional capacity, coordination for better spatial targeting. Many municipalities still struggle with IDPs and spatial development frameworks, uneven capabilities for spatial planning, and aligning particularly the master spatial plans to the integrated urban development framework. The evaluations that we carry out and the departments themselves carry out reinforce the fact that overall terms, housing programs, performance and outcome are mixed. There are poor performing areas and well performing areas, but in a sense, this would require us to review policy in some of those areas in order to perfect and improve performance. Outcome 9 deals with the responsive, accountable and effective local government system. The specifics relating to this includes all the local government services, what we call local services. Reliable water services showed insignificant progress over the last FTSS. The Municipal Water Services Authority revealed that only 34 of the 144 of the water service authorities received acceptable functionality scores, representing 24% of the MTSF, while 109 are operationally vulnerable. The bucket eradication program removed or achieved removal of 36,331 of bucket sanitation systems in targeted formal areas. We're very careful about this definition, because bucket systems exist in informal settings as well. But this target relates only to the old bucket systems that related to formal areas, i.e. townships with a proper house. With this, again, in the MTSF, we'll show you the intention to totally eradicate this type of bucket system and then be dealing with the only the one that's informal settlements, moving on. Solid waste management services, which have increased connection of households to grid electricity, which performed above 100%, a total 24. Financially distressed municipalities, which were supported in the municipal finance improvements program. The annual irregular expenditure for 2017 are notably decreased from 29.7 billion 2016 to 21.4 in 2017-18. Unauthorized expenditure accounted for 5.6 billion, and fruitless and wasteful accounted for a total of 1.4 billion in 2017-2018. This is an area, again, in the MTSF, you see drastic targets being set for entire government, national, provincial, and local, to literally eradicate fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Check. The definition of irregular requires a different treatment, but we think we must have total zero intolerance on fruitless and wasteful, and we can, and you'll see the MTSF talks to those issues and it's very clear. Outcome 9 deals with what they call a capable state now, but was called a responsive, accountable and effective system of local government. And the number of households with reliable water, out of the target of 5 million, the performance was at 11%. Bucket sanitation eradication at 7%. Access to wastewater exceeded the target. Household connected to the grid exceeded the target. Connected to non-grid at 81%. Water Services Authority 24%. Financially distressed municipalities performance at 24%. And then the intervention on the number of highest unauthorized irregular fruitless ratio expenditure municipalities for corrective action. That's when there's interventions, we help them. And the rate has been 10 per annum, and the 10 per annum was achieved. Outcome 10 deals with environmental assets. Chair, I'm now running quickly to meet your time target. River health programs, only river health targets were achieved. derelict and ownerless mining sites rehabilitated, the number of full-time equivalents of jobs created in this particular area, they were 75% of their target. Number of solar home systems installed in 2019 was only 86,000 out of the 105. And then there we give the reasons for why some of them were not achieved. Sub-outcome 4 deals with enhanced governance systems and capacity in this environmental and natural resource sector. A total of 2,541 criminal investigations have been finalized. 7,278 administrative enforcements have taken place against the set target of 5,200, which means we exceeded the target by the end of 2018-2019. Sustainable communities, 100% implementation of sustainable strategy, 82% achieved, but it's all sustainable strategy in relation to the targets they set for themselves. A total of 86,000 solar home systems have been installed out of a target of that 105. The next part deals with inability for government departments to reach consensus. These are the key issues that have been found. Identification and fabrication of areas of conservation, irreversible pollution of natural fresh air, water, and land reservoirs, the lack of coordination and alignment among departmental activities across the spheres, particularly with respect to spatial planning, and including the departments that are listed there, the lack of alignment of planning and activities and institutional of MTSF against the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and the performance agreement. Outcome 11 deals with the international program, Better South Africa, contribute to a better and safer Africa in a better world. This particular program deals with trade, tourism, and exports and other defense matters that largely deal with the international program. Total trade between South Africa and the continent stood at $420 billion by December 2017 in favor of South Africa, leading contributors to FDI totaling $481 billion. 100% compliance with the SADC standby force agreement, and that's the defense agreement we have in the region. Approved comprehensive strategy and framework for filling of South Africa's quota to the AU and SADC has not been attained. And there is a particular challenge around the secondment of South Africans to strategic positions in multilateral institutions. It's a matter we've been raising for many years. And we don't know why, because recently, if you do the, particularly the continental round, the Ethiopians, as they say, they are full in those institutions, they are everywhere. They are in the UN, they are training their people, they are young, they are brilliant, they are everywhere. And Chair, on this one, I think we need a wake up call.
They've moved away from West Africa because those things used to be dominated by West Africa, and most of these multilateral institutions, we also pay for them, who are also shareholders in some of them.
Okay, in fact, in most of them, we pay more than all of these. But we don't take advantage of the benefits. Maybe one day we will really get this right, because we're losing on capacity building opportunities for our young people in many areas. Insufficient progress has been recorded in terms of the number of international tourist arrivals. Total of 49,186,613 tourist arrivals were recorded in this period. There has been significant work done now, and when we come on the MTSF, we'll tell you about the changes.
49 million.
Yes, it is 49 million. 49. Oh, sorry, I said 49,000. Thank you. And then part of the issue was the Cape Town issue about day zero messaging and visa-free destinations that are competing with us and unsafe destinations. We still continue to be perceived as an unsafe destination. The visa regulatory issues, which now have been solved but did not help us, we'll only start seeing improvement in this area now that we've added number of countries that are visa-free and we've improved the situation. On outcome 12, we deal with the effective developmental orientated public service, and in that, the quality of service delivery remains uneven, inadequate coordination in the three spheres of government. Total of 128 departments received a financially unqualified audit, 34 departments qualified, 2 received an adverse opinion. Chairperson, I must say, in that 125 with financially unqualified are also a number of departments that have clean audits. So there's no such definition technically of clean, but then we have an increasing number of clean audits that are coming out at least at national departments. Conclusion of disciplinary cases is 95 days, which is under the target of 90 days. The challenge of non-payment of suppliers within the prescribed period of 30 days persists. We have addressed this matter with another portfolio committee, with our portfolio committee of public services. Chairperson, we've made an intervention on Gauteng. The matter is directly related to medical legal claims. The health department ran out of money long before the financial year is over when they settled the medical legal claims. The result is that they don't pay small businesses because it's easier not to. Small businesses don't have the capability of taking people to court. But we have an intervention in Gauteng, we're seeing results. Our next intervention is in the Eastern Cape, which is sort of showing very bad indicators in terms of this particular issue. Outcome 13, we deal with the issue of the inclusive response to social protection system. This has really performed very well. The grant system, we indicate the figures there of the various grants, old age grants, child support grants, and what we've achieved over the MTSF for the poverty rates have fallen in terms of both economically and economically active, albeit at different rates. We indicate the different types of approaches when you deal with poverty, food poverty line, upper bound poverty, lower bound poverty, and importantly, the multidimensional poverty, which has reflected a decrease from 79.9% in 2001 to 7%, etc. We're having discussions with the Statistician General, and at some point we'll take government and leader direction about just resolving how we use these different approaches to poverty so that we really acknowledge the importance of multidimensional, which is what our social program actually aims to achieve. The target of extending access to food from 2.4 million individuals to 1 million households through provincial community nutrition development centers. 86% of UIS claims were finalized within the 5 weeks of application. National Integrated Social Protection System, which basically would help us to link NSFAS and grants together so that the children who are receiving NSFAS, who are also grant recipients, are managed in the same way and undergo single screening rather than double. The number of targets pertaining to creation of legislative platforms include out of the 305 million children on ECD going age, they only access 778,076 who access the ECD registered centers. Policy optimization is necessary in these areas, and we refer to several things. The challenges remain incomplete legislative reform. Absorption of social workers in the MTSF will show you our intention to increase double social workers. The issues of mental illness and social problems are drowning us. Spending capabilities of the ECD conditional grants and access to ECD of children with disability, and then the fact that there's inadequate funding for ECD across the board. Measuring impact on social cohesion and nation building will just very specifically relate to the changes in the target. Most of them were unmet. The only one that was met is the target on the pride of being South African. So we're not doing well on non-sexism, we're not doing well on gender equality, we're not doing well on non-racialism, and particularly the issue of overarching identity. These are areas that need our focus on social cohesion over the next 5 years. Persistent challenges, we indicate awareness of the constitution, which has increased from 47% to 51%. We also highlight the fact that the populace does not embrace constitutional values, including the right to life. That's why we're concerned about death. Non-sexism. And we're indicating slow attitudinal redress. Inequality of opportunity still remains. Inequality is still driven by obvious things such as gender inequality, income inequality, and asset inequality. Percentage of people with disabilities remain at 1%. All forms of redress, including spatial, economic, and cultural, are quite urgent in the next period. The use of indigenous languages is still marginalized at a lot of levels. In the last set of slides, Chair, we share with you our approaches and how we work in order to do all of this work through performance dialogue. We indicate what we do in the performance dialogue. They're largely led by us and National Treasury. We sit around the table, look at relevant policies and priorities that are being measured, and track progress towards achievement of MTSF and corrective measures. We also then include other role players in discussing challenges, obstacles to service delivery, and why it is that we don't have the performance we desire. We also have an important instrument. We must come and talk to you about this in the new year, the budget prioritization framework, otherwise known as the mandate framework. We've had it for the last 3 years. We couldn't have it this year because this is a new cycle altogether. We have to wait for the MTSF to define the priorities in order for us to determine the mandate favor priorities. So, Chair, my time says it's up according to what you have allocated me. But that just brings us to the end, Chair, and shows how we work budget prioritization paper. We believe the national tourism strategy needs alignment between plans and budget. As you can see on the tourism area, we're just concerned two targets in the quarter. We're not, but we engage with them when we see those kind of things because we must get more from the department. Yes, and labor, we need more from them. Finally, Department of Higher Education, we just point out some of the recommendations that we made. This is just to show you, typically when we have a performance dialogue in the department, what do we do, how do we engage, and what do we say to them, and how do we help them to improve. The next one is on social development, and Chairperson, that brings me to the end of the presentation. 2 minutes after your time.